This program is designed to provide general information with regards to the subject matters covered. This information is given with the understanding that neither the hosts, guests, sponsors, or station are engaged in rendering any specific and personal medical, financial, legal, counseling, professional service, or any advice. You should seek the services of competent professionals before applying or trying any suggested ideas.
Beautiful, bountiful, beloved, immortal beings, and good-looking people. This is Barry Shore, and you have tuned in consciously and conscientiously to the joy of living. And the reason you do that is because you care the most about you. Y-O-U. That's all you really care about. You care only about you. And that's good, because when you care the most about you, and you're the best you possible, then you can make a difference in the world. And that's why we're here. We discuss the three fundamentals of life. Number one, life has purpose. Number two, the corollary to that is you can go mad. And going mad means go make a difference. And the way to do that is by uncovering and unlocking the secrets and the power of everyday words and terms. And you have joined on this magical, mystical, mythical platform called Internet Radio, K4HD.com, and your humble host, Barry Shore, B-A-R-R-Y-S-H-O-R-E, so you can send in notices and questions and we can answer them. And you are joined with 270,613 people around the world today to discuss you, the joy of living. And we have one of the greatest, most important people in my life. This is a man who has energized me, invigorated me, and given me insight into ideas that have enabled me to learn to live in joy daily. His name is Dick Larkin. We're going to introduce him in just a couple of minutes, but I want to go over a number of things that we'd like to do on this particular show, and that is to discuss unlocking those secrets and the power of everyday words and terms, such as www. Now, if you ask anybody, what does www stand for? Most likely, they'll tell you it has something to do with the internet and the World Wide Web. And factually speaking, they're correct. But in our world, the world of joy, www stands for, drumroll, fanfare, da-dun, da-da. What a wonderful world. And what a is a word, W-H-A-T-A. What a wonderful world. And we have a tip of the hat to wonderful Satchmo and Louis Armstrong, the same being, for making that song, What a Wonderful World, go viral and touch not just tens and hundreds of millions, but billions of people around the planet. And whenever you even hear the song or even think of the title, right away, you smile. And SMILE is one of the greatest acronyms that you could ever internalize, learn, and utilize in your life. Because SMILE, S-M-I-L-E, stands for seeing miracles in life every day. Seeing miracles in life every day. Now, invariably, when I'm speaking, whether it's a group of 50 people or 5,000, somebody comes up to me and says, hey, Barry Shore, I'm up for hours already. I haven't seen any miracles. And I ask them, are you here? Can you hear? Can you see? Do you have food to eat? Do you have water to drink? Do you have a place to sleep? Do you have people that love you? Do you love people? Those things are miracles. That's miraculous. And as my 8-year-old niece said to me, Uncle Barry, can I spell smile, S-M-I-E-L? And I looked at her, I said, of course, honey. And that's SMILE, isn't it? And it's, I asked her why. She said, because that stands for seeing miracles in everyday life. That's the key to learning how to live in joy daily. And one of the ways we do that is by learning how to create the kind of world we want to live in. And CREATE is a fabulous acronym. It stands for causing rethinking enabling all to excel, create, causing, rethinking, enabling all to excel. And when you do that, you're living in the kind of world that we all want to live in. So when you're the best you possible, Y-O-U-E-W-E, you make the world a better place. Now, I do have to interrupt myself and tell you that your humble host, Barry Shore, B-A-R-R-Y-S-H-O-R-E, BarryShore.com. If you ever miss a minute of the show, you don't want to do that. You want to listen again. You do want to do that. And you want to share this with five people, with family, friends, and especially people who are not your friends or you think are not your friends, then go to BarryShore.com. And all the information about this show today is available there. And this remarkable being named Richard Dick Larkin, who are going to be joining us in just a couple of moments. And when you do that, your humble host wants to make you aware that I do use four-letter words. And I like to use the four-letter F-U word. And why do I do that? Because it shocks people and it gets their attention. So some of the four-letter words I use are life, live, love, give, free. And the F-U word, yes, F-U-N-N, everybody, fun. Now, of course, people come up and say, but Barry, sure, fun is only three letters. Not in our world. Remember, in our world, the world of the joy of living, we spell it F-U, capital N, capital N. So when you are later, after you listen to the show, you're walking down the street, you're going to visit your family, and you look at everybody with a twinkle in your eye, and remember what SMILE stands for, you look at them and say, F-U, everybody. And then immediately after, add capital N, capital N, fun. And they'll ask you, what are you talking about? Where'd you get that? You say, hey, I listen to The Joy of Living and Barry Shore. Because Barry Shore brings more joy into the world because of the people that he brings to us. So without further ado, what I'm going to do is ask my dear friend, Richard Dick Larkin, who has made time for us today to give a big, hearty hello to 270,613 people around the world. And then we're going to delve into Dick Larkin and find out why Barry Shore is so energized just by thinking about him. So, Dick, are you available to say hello to 270,613 people around the world?
Hello, Barry, and everyone around the world listening.
Wow, thank you. Now, Dick is resident, and don't hold it against him, but he is resident with his wonderful wife in Chicago, Illinois. Now, why do I say that? Don't hold it against him, because it's winter here. And if somebody chooses to be in Chicago, Illinois in the winter, you're sort of suspect about the person. But, Dick also hails from Southern California. He doesn't actually come from Indiana, but he was smart enough to leave there because it is a bit cold. And he does have a home that he uses in Carlsbad, California, which is absolutely wondrously beautiful. He does escape every once in a while and get away. And he just came back from being on an island in the Caribbean. So it's not as if he has to stay in Chicago during the winter. But Dick, now that we have you here, I'm just going to give a briefest of background things about you because people love to hear that. And then we're going to talk about some things that really make a difference in the world. So, wow, we have so many notices up on the board here. People want to hear more about you because I've been building you up. So Dick is a co-author of a number one best-selling book on Amazon called The Magic of Everyday Giving. He's a co-author with your humble host, Barry Shore. He ran the sales for Nintendo. He was the first licensee when it came out. And then he was also one of the first people to publish multimedia CDs for the Rolling Stones, who, if it's hard to believe, but yes, is still around. He was one of the first people to create internet yellow pages, and he was involved in the sale of a company that was involved in internet yellow pages. That was a $1.5 billion transaction. So here's a man who is deeply involved in transactional business, who understands living in the moment and seeing the future when he talked about Nintendo and CDs and things like that. But he's also a communicator. He created and wrote the Commando Marketing Newsletter, which was published for 7 years. I was an avid reader. I looked forward to it every week. He had over 10,000 subscribers. And I'm happy to tell you that his passion in life, and his dedication is helping people, and especially people who are marginalized, who are pushed aside, who are on the edges of what we'll call successful living, in the sense that they may not have sufficient funds saved up, and now they're older, 65, 75, 85, and find themselves in difficult situations. And Dick is one of the people that's building a grassroots outreach system that is enabling thousands and tens of thousands of people to live a more dignified life in their older age. So as that is an introduction, Dick, I'd like you to speak, and not Barry Shore, and tell us what it means to be able to work in the world of human potential and what you're doing to making the planet more habitable.
Well, Barry, you are such a joy in my life, and I'm so pleased to be here. You know, there was a turning point that happened for me. My father, who was a wonderful guy, in his older age had dementia, and he started going into the fog and spending his final years in a nursing home. And during the Great Recession, I was under a tremendous amount of financial pressure. Things that had been working suddenly stopped working. I found myself deeply, deeply in debt, and I would go visit my dad in the nursing home. And I was feeling sorry for myself. And then one day I looked around and I realized that every single person in there would gladly trade lives with me. And that the problems that I thought were so overwhelming were actually something that they would dream of, to be able to go out and have problems in the world and be able to live life. And I held his hand as he passed away. And I said, you know, I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to do something important. And I changed what I was doing from internet and mobile advertising. And I said, I'm going to go out into the world. And I joined a very small startup company in Chicago that was trying to transform the way that people received health care, value-based care, people on Medicare and Medicaid, people that were living on, you know, under $18,000 a year in the city of Chicago.
Whoa.
And I said, that might seem like a lot of money. It is not.
Right? No, it's not enough to live for 3 months for most people.
Not at all. And I said, I don't know healthcare, but I'm going to see what I can do. And I went door to door in some of the worst neighborhoods in Chicago, talking to people, and said, we'll build a system of outreach to spread the word, to communicate, to assist people. And within 2 years, more than 10,000 people had become patients at no cost to them. So it was completely free to all of them. And now that organization, and now another one that I've gone and worked with doing the same outreach work with low-income seniors, now combined serve around 150,000 seniors and growing at 35% to 50% per year. So we can barely keep up with the demand, but
I want to interrupt just a moment, because I know you personally, and I know who I'm speaking with. People don't have that advantage, but I just want to recap something. You're literally telling us that on your father's deathbed, you recognize that part of life, a large, significant part of your life, needed to go mad, what we call go mad, go make a difference. And you made almost a vow to your father to make sure that that would happen. And you went through, on your own initiative, finding a way to help people who are literally downtrodden. I mean, have been tread upon and didn't have sufficient amounts of money to live well enough to be able to afford to eat like most people can. I mean, $18,000 a year, you can barely function. And now you're telling us you built a system that has enabled 10,000 people to get care at no cost? That's wondrous.
It was a transformation. And, you know, for me, I was never a person who was out giving and doing a lot of fundraising and working in the nonprofit sector. I mean, I would give a little bit here and there, but not much. And as his life ended, I thought, you know, they're Gawai in 35 years. And so will I make this next 35 years of, wow, did Dick Larkin sell a lot of advertising? That's what the world needed. No. And I didn't know what I was going to do. I quit my job, and I had a very, very good job. And I just said, I've got to do something different. And I don't even know what it's going to be, but I know it's not this. And it took a lot of searching and asking and talking to people and meeting companies to try to find the right one. And then I've also gotten involved in a nonprofit, the Community and Economic Development Association of Greater Cook County, that's breaking the cycle of poverty. Because I believe that having a job, having money, becoming financially independent, and not wealthy, but just where you're not reliant on the system, it changes the way people work. And so that's really what I've dedicated myself to. And working in healthcare, I work part of a billion-dollar healthcare organization that is effectively cost nothing to the people that we serve. We get paid through the Medicare and Medicaid systems, but really doing outreach to people that are the neediest populations, and how do we reach out and educate and inspire them and help them understand what services are available to them.
Let me interrupt here, because Dick, I'm going to tell you something. We do this show regularly, and thank God, as I said, we have 270,000 plus people listening all over the world. At least 230 listen every week, and another 30 to 40 are coming in because their friends say it. We haven't had this kind of response with questions on the board in many, many months. And I get questions, first of all, about 10 questions, almost all the same. How can people get this care? So I'm going to have you address that in just a moment, and then tell people again. Just go to barryshore.com, and everything about Dick Larkin will be there. So after the show, even, you'll be able to contact him, send him questions and such like that, because his life is dedicated to helping and serving. And another, I'm telling you, almost the same number of questions are coming up and saying, well, how come you quit your very lucrative job? Why didn't you just use that to give more money? And I think part of the reason, I know, but I'm going to let you answer both of those questions. How can people get this care? Is it limited to people in Chicago? I assume not. And why did you really quit your job and just dedicate yourself to this? What was it that was really moving you to make sure that you were here, as you said, to break the cycle of poverty? That's a big gig.
It is a big challenge. So in terms of where do you get this care, one of the challenges is that healthcare, especially senior primary healthcare, value-based medicine, which is all outcomes-based, is all very, very local. The organization that I work for now, called ChenMed, which is spelled C-H-E-N-M-E-D, and you can Google that at chenmed.com, has around 60 medical centers in the eastern half of the U.S. In fact, tomorrow afternoon, I'm flying to New Orleans, where we have 5 medical centers.
It is warmer there.
But as Rebel was saying, it's not. They're experiencing some cool weather, but I'll have to throw on a sweater. In Chicago, there's an organization called Oak Street Health, O-A-K Street Health. There are organizations called One Medical, and finding them is normally going through your local healthcare providers and asking for, and these are the special words, value-based care or risk-based provider.
Let's repeat that again. Value-based care.
Or risk-based provider.
Now, again, this is for people in the United States, because we have a large percentage of our listening audience outside the United States. I'm going to praise the United States for the moment and also criticize. So the praise for the United States is, let's do criticism first. Criticism is that medicine, which is really, or the ability to provide health care is probably the best in the world, the United States, in terms of overall abilities. And yet, not everybody is in the system. Many people fall through the cracks, either because of being unaware, or because, most likely, unfortunately, because of money. And it doesn't need to be that way. That's my personal criticism. The praise is that the United States of America, I think, is making giant strides to get closer to the ability to provide its citizens with information, because it's really up to the individual when it comes down to things, with more information and more guidance, as you say, not just to break the cycle of poverty in terms of money, but to break the cycle of poverty in terms of dependency and in ignorance, in the most positive sense of, hey, it's my life. I can take care of myself if I follow certain guidelines. So I'm just saying a big bravo to you, Dick, and to the United States. But we have a long way to go. And I think we're one of the leaders in the world, but we have a long way to go.
Well, we definitely do. And so for folks that are in countries that have rational healthcare systems or unified healthcare systems, they're not under this sort of pressure. But the United States, for all of its wonderful good things, the healthcare system is designed to pay people for doing things regardless of how, of the outcome. And so if you have a hospital, you get paid to fill the beds regardless of anyone gets healthy. If you're an orthopedic surgeon, you get paid to cut people's knees regardless of whether or not that helps them walk better. And so the movement, and there are a lot of people talking about it. There are not very many people doing it, called value-based medicine, means that the providers are paid a flat amount every month for their patients, but they're responsible for all of the outcomes. And so, for example, if one of our patients can't get a hold of us and they have an outbreak of COPD or the cardiopulmonary disease, they can't breathe, they can't get their inhalers, or they're diabetic and they don't take their insulin, they end up in the emergency room in the hospital and we pay for that. So our motivation is to make sure that we're providing outreach and high touch and changing the way that healthcare is handled so that that patient can avoid those avoidable hospitalizations, and being preventative, helping them eat healthy and have transportation and have access to care that they wouldn't otherwise have access to.
Let me put this yep. in the context. Everybody wins under that kind of scenario. The patient certainly does. The system even does, because it doesn't necessarily have to provide such expensive, like you say, procedures, which may or may not be useful and beneficial. You slice and you dice and you cut, but is that really the best use of the doctors and nurses and caretakers' time, when really the person could have been provided with information that eating a certain way can be even more beneficial than undergoing treatments?
Well, that's exactly right. If you want to imagine the U.S. healthcare system in the simplest way possible, if you take a toddler and give that toddler a toy hammer and watch what that toddler does, they walk around and they hammer everything they can. That's the U.S. healthcare system. Regardless of whether they're driving a nail or being intentional, they're just hammering away and making noise and creating a lot of ruckus, with regardless of the outcomes. So that's, there are folks that are changing the way of how healthcare is delivered. And the important part is that when you put the patient care at the forefront and reward everyone in the cycle for keeping that patient healthier, reducing the stress of going to the hospital or the emergency room, which is not a good place to be for anyone, and you provide access to some of the fundamentals of care, making sure they can get their medications, making sure they have transportation, that they have food security. When you put that at the core, patients do better. It's at much lower cost to the system, and you can do so profitably if you run your healthcare operation that way.
And that's basically one of the things that you're doing with your group, correct? You're beginning to educate people, make them aware so that everybody wins. In other words, the patient wins, which is really what the patient wants. The system wins, in quotation marks, the system, because it's less expensive, both in terms of money and time when it comes to skilled people. And the overall, how should we say it, the community wins because we have fewer ailing people who are aged. And by the way, aged people should become inspirations to younger people, not burdens to younger people.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, it's helping people. One of the challenges that I see as people get older, and I'm in my mid-50s, and I've seen this happen to many classmates and people that are of my generation and older, they want to work, they want to be productive, they want to be contributors to society, but the traditional work world doesn't value them. Getting employed, if you're 60 years old and trying to find a regular job, good luck. It's possible, but it's not very likely. And so you've got to rethink the way that you approach your work and how you can be paid and what goes on. And so it's a fundamental shift of mindset. And that's often very, very challenging for people when they're, you know, they're later in life, they're trying to think about it. Do I start over or how do I rethink about how will I make a living? I need income. I'm going to expect to live for quite a while. I have a lot of expenses and I want to have a productive and healthy life. And that requires a fundamental shift of thinking.
Now, is that something that you're working on also in this umbrella of providing people with greater information, not just about their physical care, but in their, like you said, breaking the cycle of poverty?
That's separate from my day job. So I'm vice chairman of CETA, the Community Economic Development Association of Greater Cook County, which serves the county that Chicago is in, about 3.5 million people. And one of the fundamental tenets of CETA is helping people, first of all, get stable. So energy assistance, some food assistance, housing, weatherization. So we have a large weatherization group, putting furnaces in people's homes, making sure the mayor of Chicago recently announced that she thought that having water was a fundamental right so that the city of Chicago would no longer turn off people's water when they can't pay their bill.
Wait a minute. Let's hold for a moment. You're telling me that the city, in fact, would turn off people's water if they didn't pay their bill?
Water, heat, electricity. Yes, sir. It's and she looked at that and said that is absolutely insane.
Right.
And we won't do that.
Good. And so again, our organization, you know, it's interesting because part of what will happen is you'll certainly have what we used to call scoff laws. Certainly some people like that, but most people they won't do it purposely. They want to pay because people do want to feel useful. Like you said before, this whole idea of being, let's say, 58 to 60 and wanting to work, not just because you need the money, even though most people do, but wanting to work because people want to contribute. This is an important issue that Dick is making us all aware of. Everybody wants to be a contributor. So we have this great line in life, what we call shift happens. The only interesting word about the only issue, it's a great phrase, shift happens, is that most people unfortunately get tongue-tied and they drop the F. So shift does happen and can happen, but people just sometimes forget that F and it becomes a different kind of mindset. So we need to shift the mindset and think about how can I, as a 60-year-old person or 62 or 58 or 72 like me, create my own ability to contribute because I can. In other words, I have a lifetime of learning, of experience, and even though my particular skill set may not be exactly what is needed in 2020, there are certainly some aspects of it that can be adapted. And guess what? I can make it fun Remember before in the introduction, I said, F you, Dick, F you, N-N. Mm-hmm. I like saying F you to you, Dick, and we say that to people. F you, N-N. In other words, learn to live life to the full in the sense of, wow, I can do this. And if I can't, I know where there'll be resources because there are people like Dick Larkin in the world. And like other people in a major city like Chicago, I bet you there's probably 22 different agencies that if you knew about them, they'd be there to be of benefit. Am I correct?
There are at least that many programs, and finding them and applying for them and communicating through those is really challenging. So,
and you help address that challenge, right?
CETA helps people reach out, find those programs, apply for them, either directly or through community services to understand what else is there. So if you need, for example, if you are looking for food, we don't provide food directly. We provide funding to the Greater Chicago Food Depository that has a very efficient system of delivering food to food pantries throughout the Greater Chicagoland area. But let me backtrack just a little bit, Barry.
Please.
Because, you know, as people, and I talk to people every day, every week, and they say, well, gosh, my career, my job went away. Dude, I used to be in the Yellow Pages industry. It's gone.
Let's do two things here. There may be people listening that never even saw a Yellow Pages book. In other words, what Dick is saying, he comes from the buggy whip era. And I don't know, nobody knows what a buggy whip is. Yes, we're in a rapidly changing environment, aren't we?
Well, rapidly. And many industries, I have friends that are former traders from the Chicago Board of Trade that used to have a huge trading floor. And these guys made a lot of money. That industry is gone. It's all turned computers, and all of those guys who are shouting in the mercantile pits, their business went away. So they have to go reinvent themselves. But the one thing that I want to keep everyone focused on, every company has the same fundamental need. And if you can help fill that need, you will find employment, whether it's a job or compensation, all of the time.
And, what is that need?
I knew you were going to ask that. Every company needs more profitable customers. And that if you can help a company find more profitable customers, they will reward you, the right company will reward you to the ends of the earth.
This is so wonderful, so empowering that you're telling this, because we have people listening who are, I know for a fact, who are under the age of 10 and over the age of 89. Actually, we have some people who listen regularly, by the way, you ready for this? Who are 103. I have two people who send me emails. They're 103. One's a man, one's a woman. And I think that what you're saying is so fundamentally, as you said, vital. That this is the crux of the issue. And if you can think about it and make it happen, then you will be rewarded. Not that you'll be getting a paycheck. You'll be rewarded because that's the result of thinking. So please continue, because I know that one of your most favorite books is called The Richest Man in Babylon. And wouldn't that be a great book to read by anybody at any age for the fourth time, 10th time, or 100th time?
Well, it is. I recently listened to it again, and I did it for free because I don't like to waste money. I use an app that allows me to listen to it through my public library. But I listened to just the fundamentals of that, which comes down to if you think about any business, and it could be a restaurant, it could be a car dealership, it could be a clothing store, it could be someone who mows lawns. Every one of those businesses is looking for more profitable customers. And if you can put your thinking and your creativity to work, helping them get more customers, they will reward you for that. Especially if you talk to them of hey, if I can do this for you, if I can bring more customers to you, will you reward me? Let me even show you. So you have no risk. And as we look at that, as we look at people who think that way of how can I help this company grow or this business grow, whether it's my friend or whatever business it is, if I can help them grow, I can be rewarded and I have nothing ventured, nothing risked except for my time and energy and creativity.
This is so empowering. Again, Dick is, I think, saying the following. Let's say you're 72 years on this planet, be you man or woman, and you live in a neighborhood and you say to the particular lawn service or snow shoveling service, depending where you live, something like that, hey, if I bring you 5 new customers, would you pay me, call it a number, $10 a month, $20 a month for each new customer on an ongoing basis? And the person, if they have a brain, would say, well, hello, yes. So let's say it's $20 and you brought 5 customers, you just made $100 a month, ongoing basis, because you recommended somebody and said, hey, use George's service, delivery service, bakery, whatever it is. That is truly liberating. Dick Larkin, you are something. I love you. Let's do the following. You have a statistic here. We only have 5 minutes left, and boy, time goes by so fast, especially because of the little glitch we had in the morning at the beginning. I hope you'll come back again. You told me that 10,000 people in the United States of America are turning 65 every single day. Is that really true? 10,000 people?
10,000. And it's going to continue as the baby boomer group continues to age. That's going to continue for about the next 13 or 14 years. So 10,000 people a day turning 65 in the United States.
And let's take the next part of the next step. How long do the life expectancy, another, let's say after 65, the average is another 10, 15 years or more?
Yeah, it tends to be longer. So here's a little twist on that stat. If a couple, a man and a wife, turn 65 today, there is a better than 50% chance that one of them will live to be older than 90.
Wow.
So if you're 65, then your life expectancy right now is around 87, something like that. So that, you know, if you've made it this far, you're going to live for quite a while. Well, this concept of people retiring at 65 and then doing what? Social Security, if you're in the United States, Social Security is going to average pay you around $1,000 a month. That's nothing. You can't live on that. What are you going to do? And a lot of people are healthy. They're vibrant. They're not ready to quit. And so they can use their influence to boost people who are willing to do the heavy lifting. I live in the city, and there are shops throughout the city, small shops. Every one of those that has windows needs somebody to wash those windows. Well, I don't want to wash those windows. I don't want to do that work. I don't feel like going out and do that work. But if I was looking to, how can I make an extra $1,000 a month? If I would put my efforts to reach out to those shop owners, find someone who's willing to wash those windows and say, if I can get clients for you that will sign it, will you share, will you give me a third of the amount that you're charged for it? Because I'm going to do the work of spreading the word and getting them lined up for you to go in and do the work. Well, I can make money that way by helping this person who wants to wash windows get more profitable customers. And if I do that, then there's no end to my growth.
Right. And then this is just Dick saying, wow, how that's just window washing. It applies to 30 other aspects of living in a city or a rural environment, because Dick came from Indiana. He's a rural guy. He's living in a big city, but he's also lived in smaller places. And Dick Larkin is a man that is rooted in creativity. And I want to publicly thank you, Dick, for making the time and effort to be today on the show and to share with people. And again, go to barryshore.com, B-A-R-R-Y-S-H-O-R-E. You'll see a picture of Dick. You'll have access to him. Send him emails. He'd love to hear from you. And if you don't want, then send it to me, and I'll send it on to him. But the important thing, I think the breakthrough here is that shift is happening. Keep the F in there. Get your mindset around being creative, and therefore happiness, joy, peace, and more love will be a result. Because there's nothing, nothing in this world, not just in the United States, every single country in the world, any person can experience this. We only have another minute and a half. I'd like to do two things, Dick. Number one, I want to give you, envelop you in a big hug. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
One, two, three. And to tell you again how much I appreciate you and that you made the time to be here. The other thing is I want to tell everybody, there is nothing, absolutely nothing in this world that can hold you back, that can prevent you, that can stop you from succeeding. You cannot fail. When you have a mindset that is oriented towards expansion, excitement, in the most positive sense, and giving, the joy of living is expressed in one word. Giving. We want to give you a blessing to everybody listening. Our blessing to you is go forth, live the blessing, spread the seeds of joy, happiness, peace, and love. Go mad. Go make a difference. Thank you, everybody. Best wishes. Bye. How happy this time of year is, joy reigning supreme. Hello, Barry Shore here. Now, I have a quick question for you. Do you have stress? S-T-R-E-S-S, capital letters, stress, because you're supposed to be happy, and oh my gosh, maybe I'm not, and there's so much to do, and so many things to be done, and what am I going, well, if you have stress, and you want to get rid of it, or you want to reduce it and replace it with joy, then do this. Are you ready? Go to www.barryshore.com. That's B-A-R-R-Y-S-H-O-R-E, barryshore.com. Remember, www stands for What a Wonderful World. And treat yourself to the 11 strategies for living in joy. Daily. It's free. Or your money back. Cheerfully refunded. Free. Do it now. You'll be happy you did. And let me know. Send me an email. Send me a text. Give me a call and tell me how happy you are. Go mad and enjoy the holidays. Bye now.